This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, here we go. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Forget what Folgers told you, Dave and Chris. This is the best part of waking up. DCR Live every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. You got me, Rick DiPietro. You got Super Bowl champ and serial radio adulterer Chris Canty. And, of course, the pound-for-pound, undisputed best sports talk radio show host on the planet, Dave Rothenberg. We have an unbelievable show for you today. Mets win their third straight against the Phillies. Chris is going to pretend like he's not panicked about the Yankees. The Knicks make it four in a row. The Nets lose to the Sixers. I don't even think they care. We got David Quinn coming up at 7:35. And of course, as Dave always does, he'll make himself the victim here at some point. But before we get to all of that, it's time for me to hand this off to the one and only, the captain of the ship, David Jeremiah Rothenberg.
I don't know how you knew it was Jeremiah, but that was well done. Well done, Ricky. Now, the one thing I'll say is I don't know that you could keep that energy up for 3 hours. But that was a beautiful open.
I appreciate
Sensational.
That.
Sensational.
Yeah, no 3 hours. Give me whatever that was. 30 seconds, minute,
yeah,
whatever
30,
it was.
30, 45 yeah. seconds. Yeah. Kind of like high school. But that was very well done. Very, very well done by you.
Well, you know what you got to do, Dave. You fake it until you make it. And the energy
right.
that Rico brought Woo. Off the top of the show.
That I mean, is
how can
serious
we not
energy.
Have a phenomenal show? It's got to be Marconi worthy.
Serious energy.
Yeah.
Now, the two things I don't know. Why are you taking shots at Folgers? And why are you taking shots at me being the victim? But other than that, I mean, you were concise, you were quick, you were motivated, you were energized, you hit on different things. That was very well done.
Yeah, but show me the lie in that open. Show me the lie. You'll play the victim at some point, and I don't care what Folgers is trying to sell me. The best people know this. Lonnie from Harlem knows. The best part of waking up is you get DCR right up in your face every morning, 5 a.m.
That's right. Five
yeah,
to eight.
Yeah, Dave, I didn't take that as a shot at Folgers. I just took that as him using the slogan to talk about right. how great our show was.
All right. All
yeah,
right.
I don't have
right.
an issue with that. Yeah.
Very well done, then.
Yeah.
Very well
that's
done.
That's a plug for the Folgers folks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Instant coffee. Not something I've been involved in a very long time. But that's neither here nor there. So beautiful, beautiful open. We have a lot to get to. Here's my question. Before we even get to the Knicks and the Nets, and some people are just up in arms over the Nets and what they did and not playing their guys and whatever. Chris, are you okay with the Yankees here?
I know what you're trying to do, Dave.
No, I'm
you're trying
I'm
to panic
to you.
Me about my Yankees. I know what you're trying to do. I'm not going to fall for it. Rico tried to allude to it. He intimated toward it in the open. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to jump off the ledge. We're talking about four series being in, the Yankees losing three of them. I don't like it, but it's only 12 games, Dave. I'm not going to panic as of just yet. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, fair enough. I was merely taking a rectal temperature is all I was
no,
doing.
No, 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 no. I don't like that. No. I don't like that. No.
That's all I was doing.
You can take my temperature, but we're not doing it that way.
Yeah.
I'm not,
now I have fractured glass in my rear.
I am not you.
Just wanted to see take the temperature of the situation. So are you a
no,
forehead
but that's how
guy
the Yankees
are
playing. No, the Yankees are playing like that.
Yeah, the, yeah.
That's
they
exactly
are.
How they're playing.
They do not look good. And I have a, I don't know, I'll throw this out there later. I think you'll get angry and think that it's a ridiculous take, but I will throw it out there a little bit later. But let's start, can we, with the Knicks. That was a game last night that I thought they were, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I thought they certainly were going to lose. Because, I mean, in New Orleans, Zion has been almost unstoppable. That team is in contention, and they're fighting to get into that, you know, whatever you want to call it now, play-in game series or whatever. And the Knicks went out there, and it's hard to doubt them anymore, and just took care of business. We're the better team. Huge third quarter, and that's now four consecutive victories. That was a great win last night again, guys.
Yeah, but isn't that the beauty of this New York Knicks team? And the complete opposite of what we watched over the last however many years? Is that you turn on a game and you'd be like, which Knicks team is showing up today? Or you get like a great first half, and then you'd have the third quarter of doom. Mm-hmm. It's like quarter to quarter, you didn't know what to expect. And now with this team, I mean, credit the players, credit the coaching staff, man. I mean, they show up, they play great defense. They made some adjustments yesterday in the second half with what Zion was doing, kind of went more to a zone. But, mm-hmm. I mean, when you hit 17 threes, and the Knicks the last couple games going into that one have been awful, awful mm-hmm. from three. So that was, I mean, that was big for them. And Alec Burks again, man. I mean, in the fourth quarter, the 14 points, how he shows up. It's, you're right, Dave. I mean, this was a huge win on the road, especially knowing that you're going to go into Dallas on Friday.
Yeah, last night was a huge win, and everything kind of broke right for you around the NBA yesterday because you had the Bulls lose, you had the Hornets lose, and you had the Miami Heat lose. So now the Knicks are in sole possession of sixth place in the East, and with the upcoming schedule, with those home games, you would like them to be able to take advantage of it so they can kind of solidify themselves before they go on that six-game road trip out west, because that is ugly. But as far as last night's game goes, man, your star set the tone. Julius Randle got it going at the beginning of each half. And to me, this Knicks team feeds off of the energy that he brings to the table, especially when they're on the road. So the fact that he was able to get it going in the third quarter, paving the way for them to drop 40 in that quarter, like to me, that's the difference in this team being able to get it turned on and make sure that they control the game as opposed to years past. Like, you actually have a star player that can dictate the complexion of the game. Julius Randle is a phenomenal player. I mean, we keep talking about the most valuable player and who that's going to end up being, whether it's Embiid or Jokic or any of those guys. I mean, you can make an argument that Julius Randle is one of the most valuable players to his team of any player around the NBA. That's how good he's been this season.
Yeah, I don't know how he's not in the conversation, too, for most improved player. From what he was last year to what he is this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fair point.
I mean, you just heard what Chris said. I mean, he's not lying. I mean, if you took just by definition most valuable player and how much he means to his team, now Julius Randle deserves to be in that conversation. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's gonna actually get votes or win.
Yeah, he's not the best player in the NBA. That, like, we're not saying that.
But that's two different conversations, right?
Yeah.
Best player in the NBA, no one would ever say that. Most valuable player, take Julius Randle off the Knicks right now. What do you think they are?
They're bad.
They're bad.
Yeah, they're bad. They're one of the, I mean, especially because RJ Barrett, who's supposed to be your second best player, has, you know, nights like last night where he had the 6 points. Like, he's not there yet consistency wise. But no, I mean, they're probably one of the worst teams in the NBA. Like, as good a defense as they play, tell me where the scoring's coming from.
I don't know how they score. Really. I don't know how. I mean, this guy's now, he's scoring 30 points a game. He does everything you could possibly want. So I don't know how they're scoring points if he doesn't play.
Played 42 minutes, too.
I know.
I mean, think about the amount of minutes he's playing. And when he hits threes, and you saw that early in that game, like how aggressive he was, like, you can just tell certain games where Julius Randle had, like, he's going to decide, like, okay, I'm going to take over this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did last night.
Yep. Playing against another one of his former teams.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I'm sure Steven Adams wishes that he didn't back off of Julius Randle as early as he did in that game. Because once Julius Randle saw the ball go in the bucket those first couple of threes, Rico, you knew what kind of night it was going to be for him. He was going for 30 plus. And this is a different team when Julius Randle gets it going offensively. It just is. So, I mean, I mean, Dave, as a Knicks fan, you got to love where this team is going. You got to love it, man. Because, I mean, right now it feels like they're in control of their playoff destiny. And if you don't have to worry about that play-in tournament, think about how much of a step that is in the right direction for the program of Tom Thibodeau and Leon Rose.
Even if you wind up with a 7 or an 8 and you have to win one of three games, I mean, this has been a sensational season for the Knicks right now. And we are not 20 games in anymore. This is not, when is the other shoe going to drop? I'm at the point where I turn on the Knicks game and I expect them to be competitive. Because outside of, I could think of only a couple guys of games this season, they are in every single game.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to be those games, though, right? Like, there will be those games where, you know, it's just, you know, shots aren't falling, and at a certain point, it's just like, okay, I mean, we'll live to fight another
But there's
day.
Not a lot of those, right?
No, there hasn't
Give them
been.
Credit, there's not.
No, I mean, that's, again, and that's what I said earlier. I mean, you know what to expect with this team. And every team has nights like that. I mean, you watch Golden State. I mean, they get blown out by 50, and then they'll turn around and win by 38. Like, there's just nights sometimes in the NBA where you're just going to have an off night, shots won't go down, and I don't care, you know, how much you're preaching play great defense, you're like, okay, I mean, this one isn't going our way. But to their credit, I mean, when they do have nights like that, the following game they bounce back. Like this, this is a. I don't know how you would, if you're a Knicks fan, you couldn't be all in with this team, and even like, and again, with no expectations moving forward into the postseason. Like I'm not going to be disappointed and, you know, be bashing the team or Thibs if, you know, they end up getting bounced early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've given me everything that we sat here on microphones before the season started that we asked for, and some things we didn't. Like I had no idea Julius Randle was going to be an all-star.
Nope.
And turn himself into this. They've given that to us. They've made it fun as opposed to being like, okay, I get paid to watch the Knicks. I actually look forward to it. I enjoy turning the television on and watching this team play.
That's right.
Well, you know why it is, Rico. They give the requisite effort that it takes every night to be competitive in games. Like even games where their shots aren't falling, their defense keeps them in it. Like being able to create turnovers and rebounding gives them a chance, even though we know that they're not the most talented team offensively. Like their defense is their calling card. That's the identity. And we should have thought that knowing that Thibs was going to be their head coach. But the fact that they continue to bring that each and every night, that's what's going to allow them to have that consistent success. And that keeps them from having these huge swings in terms of what type of performance you're going to get, which is why I feel like it's a team that I can trust as we go down the stretch of the regular season. Like, I'm not worried about the Knicks, you know, having a chance to be in the playoffs and having a chance to actually get into a real playoff series. I'm really not. Just because I know they're a well-coached team that's going to work hard. And in today's NBA, that gets you more than halfway home. So I just feel really good about the direction that this team is pointed in, and I feel really good about, you know, the identity and how they're going to try to move this thing forward. But the biggest part about it is, or at the heart of all of that is, Julius Randle. Like, I can't tell you how great that guy has been this year and how much he means to this team. And seeing it last night, front and center against Zion Williamson, like, that just shows you, like, even with Zion getting his and going for 25-8-7, like, you could tell Julius Randle was the best player on the court. And that's what the Knicks need in order to get to where they want to be.
Could you imagine if full capacity was allowed at the Garden? Knicks fans would be... They would lose their. I mean, you would have 18,200, whatever it might be, over 19,000 for NBA games at this point at the Garden. I mean, they would be fanatical. They would be lined up. They would be excited. The Garden's a tough place to play anyway. Now, like they've created a legitimate home court advantage. If they had 19,000 lunatics there rooting for them, I mean, you can see it. You can feel it. It is happening. It may not happen immediately. It's still a work in progress. They still need a point guard. We know that there's still a team that has holes, but you can feel the worm is turning right now with this team.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, though, and I think this is something that we'll have David Quinn on later in the show, he always says to us when he took over with the Rangers was, like, you can't, as a team, reach your ceiling until you raise the floor of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the Knicks have done. And you know, the other thing that we always talk about is, because the Knicks fan has been, it's how many times, you know, we're going to clear some cap space, we're going to get this free agent, and then, you know, when it's all said and done, the free agent's like, nah, I don't want to be a New York Knick because you guys are a mess. You're dysfunctional. To have what you said yesterday as far as, you know, the Brooklyn Nets not wanting to bring KD back against the Knicks because they play too physical. You had coach last night in New Orleans talking about how hard the Knicks play. It reminds him of the 90s Knicks, the way they play defense, the kind of intensity they play with. Like that. That's starting to go. All that negative talk about the New York Knicks is changing. It is. And look at some of the moves that Leon Rose has made this season, too, and how those have paid off. Like, he's made good moves. Like, Nerlens Noel has been great.
Yep.
Alec Burks has been great. Bringing back Derrick Rose was a good move. Like, it feels like for the first time in a long time is that the people in charge from Leon Rose to World Wide West right down to Kenny Payne and Tom Thibodeau, like they got their you know what together, and like they have a clear plan that they're sticking to.
And we haven't been here in a long time. We haven't
been here in a long time.
Long time.
No, how about Dave? We went from, you know, people mocking us because, you know, our president is falling asleep during workouts to now where, I mean, it's like, people look at this team and they can't believe what they're seeing.
I know.
And how hard this team plays.
I know. It really is remarkable. And quickly, too. Right? No pun intended. I mean, this has gone from last year. It was awful last year. It was terrible. To all of a sudden where they are right now, it's been a very, very quick turnaround. So we jump off with the Knicks. I mean, after Rick's just sensational open. I mean, Chris, I didn't even know that you and I can compete for the number one star. I think Santiago has already locked away where he's given DiPietro the one star. Santi, is that true? Is there anything that we can do to take that away from him?
It's way too early to make those kind of proclamations. There's so much show left. So many things can happen.
All right. But you don't find it difficult? Who knows if Santi even remembers
if there's three stars?
Wow.
You know what?
Well, listen, that's not going to help your cause.
Exactly. That's going to leave the door open for Dave and I, 100%.
First of all, why would you do that? Second of all, when was the last time I forgot the three stars?
I didn't say you would.
It's Rule 76, which means Dave missed the three stars today, so no excuses.
Oh, damn!
I said Santi, I didn't say no stars today.
I didn't say Dave. I said Santi.
Oh.
Like I said, listen, there's 2 hours and 45 minutes of show left, and a lot can happen.
I think that's a fair point, Ray.
Hey, Christopher,
let's let the record show that it's 15 minutes into the show, and Dave Rothenberg has already played the victim once.
Yes, already done it. Already done it.
Oh, my
Felt
God.
Like you're taking shots at him, and you're talking about Ray for getting three stars.
See, that's what Dave does, though, Rico.
He makes it all about him, man. It's all about him. Dave's always the victim. Everybody bashes him. It's all about Dave.
He's playing the world's smallest violin. So good at it.
Yeah, it's disgusting, though. It's despicable, really.
So great news, everybody. Chris Canty going to be with us all the way till 8 o'clock this morning.
See what he's doing now? You see how he's deflecting?
We're thrilled about that, and we'll see if Rick can keep that number one star status up as well as it was in the opening segment.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's just, I mean, they're saying, listen, the regular season is not all that important to us. They are telling us. Would they have liked to win the game last night? I guess so. Did it really ultimately matter to them? Absolutely not. They did not care about winning that game last night, and they made that perfectly clear. They didn't play Durant. They didn't play Aldridge. They didn't play Griffin. And I think that Harden is legitimately hurt, so he didn't play as well. But, I mean, are you worried? Are you angry? Are you frustrated by this? What's your take, Chris?
I'm not angry by it, Dave. I mean, it's just something that I expected from the Nets. Like, the Nets are about trying to compete for championships. That's why Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant made the decision to come here a couple of years ago, and that's why James Harden forced his way out of Houston to join them via trade this year. Like, this is about championships, so they're not going to compromise their health in a regular season game, even if it is facing off against the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference in the 76ers. Like, I understand that a lot of people are saying, well, you know, home court is going to matter because the Sixers are so good at home. Well, you know, you don't want to have the tough second-round matchup with the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, I get all of those things. But if the Brooklyn Nets are healthy, I don't think they're worried about the Bucks or the Sixers. I think they believe they have enough firepower to be able to handle both of those teams and get to the NBA Finals, which is why Steve Nash wasn't tripping by sitting Kevin Durant last night, not having him play in a back-to-back coming off of the injury.
Yeah, but I think that's what frustrates Nets fans, right? Is that when you're watching that Minnesota game, I mean, they're up by 40 and Kevin Durant's still playing. And he only plays 27 minutes. And I understand what they're trying to do.
But they knew that he wasn't going to play in this game last night.
No, I get it. But it's like, why? So what are we doing here? Are we trying to get the number one seed? Obviously, they're not. Like, we don't need Kevin Durant to beat Minnesota. But we need Kevin Durant and Kyrie if we want to beat the Sixers. That's how I would feel if I was a Nets fan.
So what would you do? Would you have held him out against Minnesota and played him against the Sixers?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if there was no chance he's playing the back-to-back, which obviously, I mean, we mentioned it yesterday. Like, it was like we were interested to see what would happen. But, that, I mean, that's the only explanation for why you don't take him out of that game against Minnesota when you're up by 40 is because you never had any intention of playing him in the back-to-back.
Which I'm okay with. I mean, it sucks that we don't get to see that matchup in the regular season, but we know we're going to see that matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, these are the two best teams in the East. To me, in my mind, there's no question about it. If they're all healthy, these teams are going to square off in a 7-game series. And I would give the edge to the Nets just because they are that talented offensively, and their defense has kind of came around as the season has gone on. But, look, I understand fans don't like the fact that players are sitting or that players, you know, are going into this load management thing once we get into the second half of regular seasons. But this is the reality of where the NBA is at right now. Because when it comes to the best players around the NBA and the conversations about their legacy, it's about championships. It's not about hollow regular season stats. It's just not.
Yeah, and clearly, listen, with no fans at games anywhere, few fans at games, they're saying home court really means very little to us, and that's very evident in what they've chosen to do. Here's Steve Nash before the game saying health over the top seed is obvious.
I think health is everything. You know, I mean, it'd be great to have the number one seed. I think it means a lot. It's valuable, but not at the expense of losing players or prolonging our injury situation. So I think we have to be very careful and make sure that our guys get to the finish line as whole as possible.
So they can't play guys back-to-back games. I mean, they're not going to play Durant in two consecutive games.
It actually works out to their benefit. I mean, I don't know if it was the intended consequence of what happened. Because don't forget, I mean, those guys didn't play, and they also took out Kyrie late in that game.
Yep.
And, that, I mean, that, it was at that point, I mean, it looked like that the Sixers were just going to cruise to win. They're 14 points with less than 5 minutes. And give them that credit.
Yeah.
I got dicey. I mean, they cut it to three. They battled hard. Questionable foul call there on Embiid. But, I mean, that I guess that would be the positive for the Nets coming out of this is, you know, look what we did. Look at how close this game was. Like, Doc Rivers has to bring back in his starters, and we got no one. Like, as far as our superstar players aren't even – like, Kyrie's not playing right now. He's on the bench. You got no Durant, no Harden, no Aldridge, no Blake Griffin, and it was still – it was this hard for you to beat us? I mean, I guess you if you're a Nets player, that you can kind of, you know, leave that seed of doubt. Like, if it was this tough with this team, could you imagine if all of a sudden we got Harden, Durant, Aldridge, and Griffin
sure.
to deal with?
But I don't even, like, for me, it's not even a seat of doubt. Like and maybe I'm wrong. I don't even think this is up for debate. I think Brooklyn will absolutely beat Philadelphia in a seven-game series when
they
play in the
postseason.
Well, I'm not
talking about you. Yeah, but I'm not talking about you. I could care less if there's seeds of doubt in your mind. Yeah, I mean, you heard what, we played it yesterday, what Ben Simmons said about the Nets. They don't play defense.
They don't play defense, right.
Like, I mean, they were kind of pounding their chest a little bit. And then all of a sudden, now you go into last night and with a team that's not going to look anything like the team you're going to play in the postseason.
Nothing.
It was that tough to beat them?
Yep.
I mean, that's actually worked in the Nets' advantage, I think.
A little psychological warfare.
Exactly right.
Yeah, just to let them know that you're not as good as you think you are, even though we have the same record.
And why don't you care what I think, by the way?
Well, because I wasn't speaking to what you thought. I know you are. I know what you think already. I know that you think the Nets are going to be the team that ends up in the finals. I know you think the Nets are better than the Sixers.
But I think you do care what I think. You just didn't want to hear it in that moment, maybe.
No, I love hearing everything you have to say, especially okay. when you make yourself out to be a victim every segment.
I haven't done it yet in this segment.
Here's the one thing I will say, because we'll get into this with the Yankees. You wonder why football is king. You wonder why.
Every game matters. That's exactly
every game
why.
Matters.
Every game matters.
Like, fans are so sick of, like, what am I paying all this money to go to a regular season game and care this much about regular season games? Well, you could care less about regular season games.
That's right.
Well, hold on, Rico. I mean, I hear where you're coming from, and I understand why fans would be frustrated. But, I mean, it was the fans that kind of told the star players, like, what you do in the regular season doesn't matter if you don't have championships. That was on the fans.
I don't know if that's fans. That feels like more media than fans to me.
Well, I mean, either way, the star players responded to it. Like, the star players started deciding, you know what, I'm going to set myself up to be able to compete for championships, and that if that means I've got to sit out some regular season games and not playing on the second night of a back-to-back, so be it.
But how is the casual fan, not the diehard fan, because they're going to care no matter what, how is the casual fan supposed to take the regular season that seriously when the teams and the players clearly don't?
Well, Dave, I don't think the casual fan cares if the star player on their team sits out in the regular season if that means them winning a championship.
If you go to
like,
a
I don't
game?
Think the Toronto Raptors fans care that Kawhi Leonard set out all them games a couple of years back when the Raptors won the chip. I don't think they care.
Yeah, but I wouldn't necessarily, when you say stars, I wouldn't blanket statement that either. Because I think there's NBA stars that do.
There's
value
a couple of guys
season.
Like LeBron James when he's healthy, he plays all the time. James Harden when he's healthy, plays all the time. Jokic when he's healthy,
Giannis.
Plays all the time. Giannis. I mean, there's a handful
there
of guys.
There are guys.
There are a handful
also
of guys
that
play
that
all the time. But there are also a lot of guys that don't.
I just don't like where professional sports is headed.
That's
I don't.
Out of the NFL.
Well, no, I think hockey's the same. I know we don't load manage in hockey.
That's true. Hockey's the same. But baseball, you get guys taking off.
Well,
all
even the
time
Yankees.
Now.
But even the Yankees yesterday, I don't understand what we're doing. You got the day off today. I got to have LeMahieu and Stanton out of the lineup? I don't. They're 12 games into the season.
Yeah. And Stanton's rested twice?
Yeah. I don't get that either. I don't get that.
Remember,
either.
He can't play five games
yeah.
in a row. I hope you win,
yeah.
and I will take the money and throw it out my car window.
I don't understand why a designated hitter needs that much rest. Doesn't make sense to me.
But. No, I mean, especially, I mean, thank God for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not for them, we can't get a series win.
Yankees got real problems right now.
Yeah, I think
I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to do it.
He's doing everything he can to keep himself from panicking.
You want me to break glass? I'm not going to do it.
Good for you. Stay strong.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
And Chris, do you know who we need to root for the next couple of nights? I think through Friday of this week?
Who would that be, David?
Rick's New York Islanders. They played the Bruins a couple times.
Speaking of which.
It's not a great place to be.
As I was watching Zubin's beard grow as the show went on yesterday on KJZ, they did a fill-in-the-blank segment where Christopher Canty was asked an NHL question, and clearly Keyshawn had no idea who was the winner at the deadline. Canty out of nowhere comes. New York Islanders, baby.
Wow.
Zubin's head almost exploded. There was not an inkling of hope that Zubin was expecting anyone to bring like a legitimate answer to that question. Canty nailed it.
Now, a couple things. A, we're going to hear the audio in a moment. B, I've done that show. They prep you on everything. They must have told Keyshawn they were going to ask that question, no?
Dave, they handed him the sheets before the segment started.
Exactly. So how is he caught? He was caught off guard, Rick?
He had no idea. He just agreed with Canty. He's like, yes. Lou,
yes,
like
that
Chris just
team.
Said, Lou is doing a terrific job. I'm going yep, Islanders.
Wherever they play, yes, yes.
I knew somewhere Rick DiPietro would be smiling when I had that answer.
I had a
somewhere.
Big smile on my face.
All right, let's take a listen. Canty just waxing poetic on the NHL on KJZ yesterday.
Fill in the blank. Won the NHL trade deadline had just passed. If you had no idea that was the case.
I'm going to go with the Islanders, made the trade.
This is actually a legit answer.
Made the trade with the Devils, being able to bring over Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac. And you got to trust what Lou Lamoriello is doing. They're second in the East right now. But that's a team that could make a push and get over the hump.
Lou's done a great job. Lou has done a terrific job.
All right, 24 seconds on hockey. If I was gambling like Joe Fortenbaugh, I would have bet the under, and I would have lost. Okay, we're done with the hockey talk.
I love it.
Dave,
yes,
Dave, to defend Keyshawn Johnson, we did not talk about that in the production call the day before. So I think that was one of those things that they just put on there to put him on the spot, so thinking it would be funny, but I just kind of ruined that.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I love his reaction. Yes, Lou.
any chance Keyshawn Johnson knows anything about Lou Lamoriello?
No. I
the
bet you he didn't know Lou Lamoriello existed. Guaranteed.
How about he was like, him and Zubin, like, oh, that's who we were going to pick. We were going to pick
Islanders. My God, I also had the Islanders written down here. You know what would have been great, Chris? Now, you would never make yourself look foolish, but if you would have said, look, I don't know. Like, what would have happened? If you said, I don't know, what would Keyshawn have said? It would have gone completely off the rails.
Yeah, I think there would have been a little bit of dead air, Dave, which is never good for radio or television, but that's exactly what would have happened.
This is a miracle, because I don't know a damn thing about hockey.
Because when Zubin asked the question, I looked over at Keyshawn, and he looked like he was a deer in the headlights. So I was like, let me answer this question so they don't give Keyshawn an opportunity to embarrass himself.
Yes, Lou. Lou.
Lou's our man.
Trust in Lou.
I trust in Lou. It's like in Coming to America at halftime. Yes, this is my favorite part of the game. Lou.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go with Lou. All right. So Stephen A. is, I don't think we thought it was a huge deal or think it's a huge deal. Stephen A. very unhappy with what Brooklyn did in that game by resting their guys last night.
This is that BS that I'm talking about. What we've been looking forward to all day, y'all. What were we talking about this morning? The Brooklyn Nets versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons going to be there. Joel Embiid going to be there. But Kevin Durant, one night after dropping 30, suddenly he ain't playing tonight. LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin just got to Brooklyn. Just got to Brooklyn. All of a sudden, they ain't going to be available tonight. We know James Harden is injured because that brother don't miss games. And, oh, by the way, Kyrie's not on the injured list, so he might be available tonight, but we don't know. Nationally televised game, two top teams in the Eastern Conference, and KD, James Harden, possibly Kyrie is going with Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge joining them. See what I'm saying? See, it's that bull, that BS.
I guess that was between, like, the appetizer and the main course at the restaurant, but he's very... But didn't it sound like he was out to eat for dinner?
He doesn't have time to go to a restaurant. When does he have time to go to a restaurant?
It sounded like he was out for dinner.
between First Take, Stephen A's World. He does his, I mean, the Stephen A Sports Center. He does his videos. I mean, I don't even know when he sleeps.
I don't think that he does.
The Kraken is a mother, is a mythological sea monster.
Grandmother.
Oh my gosh.
That's where the NBA is at. I mean, I understand why he's not happy about it. I mean, because I mean, as an NBA fan, you look forward to a game like this, and you like to see both teams. When guys are healthy, and as far as we know, I mean, Kevin Durant is healthy, LaMarcus Aldridge is healthy, Blake Griffin is healthy, Kyrie was back. That you want to see, you know, best against best. You want a preview of what's to come in the postseason.
Yep.
And that's not what you got. I mean, Kyrie played 3 minutes in the fourth quarter. Like, it was clear going into that game that the Brooklyn Nets, hey, if they won, great. But there was no expectation going into that game that they were gonna beat the Sixers.
No, and I don't think they cared about it. They made it perfectly obvious. If we win, fine. But really, we do not care about winning this game. It's about long-term health with this team.
But let me ask you guys this question, though. If the Brooklyn Nets are completely healthy, does it matter what their path is out of the Eastern Conference to the NBA Finals?
No, not
at all. It doesn't matter if they have to play the Bucks in the second round of the playoffs and they don't have home court against the Sixers, right? It's a moot point just because the Nets are so talented.
I think there are some people that hope that it ends up coming back to be a big deal.
So now because they did that last night, they're hoping that the Sixers end up winning in the Eastern Conference Finals and going to the NBA Finals. They're hoping that we don't get Nets Lakers in the NBA Finals.
Who are the people that are criticizing the Nets right now? Is it Nets fans? No, it's people that don't really like what the Nets are doing.
Sure,
love nothing more than to be right about being outraged that the Nets didn't put forth their best lineup last night.
So they want to be validated in saying that it's not right for NBA players not to value the regular season.
Exactly right. If the argument is, well, when we're healthy, it doesn't matter where we play, there's no home court, and if all of a sudden that doesn't end up being the case, where because they're not the number one seed, they play the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals, and because Game 7 is in Philly as opposed to Brooklyn, they lose, and those people will say, I told you so.
Yeah, those people are out of their minds. There's no way that I don't want to see the Nets versus the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant versus LeBron James. Everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see that. Like, I understand you want to be right with your selective outrage, but, I mean, that's the matchup that the NBA wants. That's the matchup that has the most entertainment value, the most storylines. Like, that's what this whole thing is building towards. Like, forget about trying to be right about, you know, the Nets resting players during the regular season. I mean, we want to see that NBA Finals because that has the best players in the NBA.
It does. I'm kind of surprised that you guys are not more bothered by this because neither of you just took games off. I mean, you wouldn't have been okay if teammates just said, yeah, you know what, I'm a little sore, a little tired, load management, let me get ready for the postseason.
NFL is different, Dave. The NFL is different. I think hockey has more parallels to the NBA just because of the number of games and the nature of the sport. Like, hockey has, you know, hockey people can come out and say, like, yeah, this is a thing now. Like, the NBA is not valuing the entertainment level that they're bringing to the fan base the way that hockey players do. Yeah, like, I don't feel like in the NFL you can make that kind of statement just because you don't play every single day.
And every
you don't
game
play
has
every
huge
other
importance.
Day.
I get it. Yeah. Every game has huge importance. But you know what? I mean, if all of a sudden a team that has something clinched in hockey, or like if the Capitals said, we'll just give Ovechkin the night off. Well, I mean, we'll just, he's not going to play. Why? Because there's no reason for him to. I think people would be very bothered by that.
No, if you had something clinched, though, I mean, you're talking, I don't think that's apples to apples. I mean, if the Nets were going into last night and they already had the number one seed clinched and you decided you didn't want to play Kevin Durant and LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, that's a different conversation.
Sure, but last night was a huge game.
For the fans, it felt like a huge game. But apparently for the Brooklyn Nets, they didn't feel the same way. Because I think we're at a point now in the NBA where where you finish, as long as you qualify for the postseason,
right.
unless before the season starts. Like I think we all had the feeling last year, after what happened to the Lakers year one with LeBron James, him being hurt, team not being very good, it looked like LeBron James going into year two was on a mission, that he mm-hmm. was going to be, they were going to be the best team in the West.
Yep.
And that was clear cut what they wanted to do. Just like you felt like this season LeBron James wanted to prove to people that he could be the MVP of the NBA. Brooklyn clearly is more concerned about health than they are about where they finish. Because as far as they're concerned, it doesn't matter where they play. If it's in Milwaukee or if it's in Philly, it doesn't matter. They're better than you are.
Listen, I'll tell you this, too, and I think they're going to go to the finals. We know that. But, I mean, wouldn't you rather be the one that than have to go up against Giannis in the second round?
Well, yeah, Dave, I think you would want to have the easiest pathway to being able to win a championship, but I think the most important thing for the Nets is health. Like, that's the only thing in their minds that could derail their season and keep them from accomplishing their ultimate goal. Like, if they don't have one of the big three, then that's going to be a problem when you start getting to the championship rounds, when you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, when you get to the NBA Finals. But if you got those three guys healthy, I mean, you're talking about them being the odds-on favorite to be able to win the whole thing. So I think that's what Steve Nash and that organization are building toward, and they're not going to compromise that for anybody or any amount of criticism coming from the fans, media, or anybody else.
Yep, they've made that perfectly clear. Let's go to King in Brooklyn. King, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This Knicks team this year will always be remembered and beloved. Because real Knicks fans can remember nobody wanted to come to this team. So no matter what, they're always going to be beloved. Now, quickly about Tibbs. The game plan and adjustment that Tibbs makes is so exciting. Being the adjustments that he makes, being out-rebounded by one, but offensively, they were plus two with Noel being out. The fourth quarter zone defense on Zion was so clutch, so effective. And even leaving RJ on the bench. And riding with Alec Burke in the fourth quarter. Is this team going to win a championship this year?
No.
But they are so dangerous and scary. After the All-Star break, now they got a brutal schedule coming down the stretch with the West Coast trip.
Brutal.
But they got six out of the next seven games at home. And if we could be plus 500, like I said, fellas, this team is dangerous. And I feel like they're going to win at least one series. I won't jump the gun too much, but this, like I said, it's dangerous and scary.
Be careful there. I wouldn't get my expectations of they're going to win at least one series. I think that's going to be a big mistake. Because what's the best they're going to finish? They're going to finish the best they could finish is, what, five maybe?
Yeah, five or six.
So you think they're going to beat Miami in a series? You think they're going to beat Milwaukee in a series? Brooklyn, I mean, they're not winning those series. I find it very difficult to believe they're winning a playoff series, which is fine, but I wouldn't fall into that trap.
I think they could make it interesting against
the Bucks.
Against Miami, I think they could make it interesting too. Yeah. I just don't know. I would look at this Knicks team. If this Knicks team finished like once they get through the play-in, like seventh or eighth, like it would be they'd be a pain in the ass to play in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to take something out of you. They're probably not going to win the series, but they're going to take something out of you.
If you're Milwaukee or Philly or the Nets, I don't think you want any part of them. But as far as the Knicks winning that series, I find that very hard to believe.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. If they do end up playing, like, say they played the Nets in the first round of the playoffs, and they made it such a tough physical series that the Nets going into the second round was so worn out that they lost the second round series, I would take that as a win for the Knicks.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Ronnie in Brooklyn. Ronnie, you're next up on 98.7.
Yes, how you doing? Good morning, fellas. Every time I turn on the TV or the radio, I hear Canty's voice. Canty's got to be the hardest working guy in media right now. But
got to get it, Ronnie. I got to get it.
Hey, listen, man. You're a champion. You deserve it. Tyree is the same guy that had surgically repaired, right, his knee, if I'm not mistaken, with some metal or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Durant. Right, I suffered an Achilles injury. It took me a good while just to mentally, you know, be prepared to the possibility of my other Achilles popping, right? The Nets, I think, is being honest with their medical situation in terms of their stars, right? I mean, these guys are not injury-free players. They have, you know, experienced some injuries that have probably finished, you know, the average player back in the 70s or 80s when the technology wasn't there, right? Is it a good thing for the fans? No. Is it a honest thing that they're being with themselves? I believe so. We were just talking about Kevin Durant, right? If he's going to come back being the player that he was, you know.
Yeah, but Ronnie, he's already – but Ronnie, time out. Before he ended up hurting his hamstring – I mean, he already established that when he was back as the Kevin Durant we were accustomed to seeing. And when he started the season, he was averaging 30. He was in the MVP conversation until he hurt his hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 30 points the other night, right?
31, yep.
I mean, is he back? Clearly he's back. I don't even have a question.
To Ronnie's point, though, one of the things that I've heard about Brooklyn's training staff and medical staff is that they're one of the best in the NBA. And, I mean, I think it's clear with how they handled Kevin Durant with the hamstring is they're going to err on the side of caution. And they just must – the plan for Kevin Durant is that we're not going to have him play back-to-back games.
Which I get, and I guess also, right, I mean, that Minnesota game was supposed to be Monday.
Yes.
And it got switched to Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they would have had more, you know, lead time, they would have actually played him Wednesday instead of Tuesday. But listen, they've told us, it doesn't matter. We don't care if we're the one, the two, the three, the five. Get us into a series where it's not play-in, and we will beat whoever's thrown our way.
Well, I think the mindset would be, too. I mean, I guess here's the two different sides of it. So what you just said, game gets rescheduled, and now all of a sudden becomes a back-to-back. So a Nets fan would tell you, or Stephen A. would tell you, well, why the hell would you choose the Minnesota game to play as opposed to the Sixers game? And I think what they would tell you is that because Durant's just coming back from the hamstring, for the same reasons why we didn't want to have him start off with the Knicks, is that now all of a sudden you're going to put him in a physical playoff kind of atmosphere against the Sixers in a regular season game?
No.
For what? That would be their argument. Like, why would we do that? He's trying to get his legs back. He's trying to get his lungs back. Let's do that against Minnesota, where we're not as concerned about how physical the game is going to be. And then we'll sit him against the Sixers.
By the way, you talk about lungs back. Did you see that Jason Tatum said he's never used an inhaler?
Yep.
And since he's had COVID, he has to use an inhaler multiple times every single game?
Yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, it affects everyone differently. I just had my brother-in-law just ended up in the hospital with COVID.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he was fine. I mean, he didn't feel great. And then all of a sudden.
Well, obviously, if he's in the hospital.
Well, no, but he's had this for a while. Like, initially, it was like he had the fever, the aches, he was tired, but it sounded like he was getting better. And then all of a sudden, we get a phone call that his oxygen levels dropped. So they had to take him to the hospital. Everyone is different, man. I'm going to ask Quinny, too. I wonder if that's what happened with Zibanejad early in the season.
Yeah.
Because I think it happened to Cam Newton. He wasn't the same quarterback.
Yeah, clearly.
At all.
Yeah.
Scary, man. It really is.
It's terrifying. And that's why this thing is so scary. Because it could affect me not at all, and it could affect you that you wind up in the hospital.
Exactly right. It's a roll of the dice. It really is. But, again, I mean, just as far as the Brooklyn Nets are concerned, I know it pisses people off, and I think you deserve to be pissed off. But, I mean, this is the reality, I think, where the NBA is at.
So this is where we are now.
Well, because look at me, but how could... Okay, listen. What drives me most crazy about sports in general, and I understand, you know, as we progress with the analytics and everything else, it makes sense to incorporate all that into your strategy. I think it takes away an element of the athleticism sometimes in baseball. Like, there's things I don't like about the analytics. But the fact of the matter is that when you saw... why am I blanking on his name?
Give us a hint.
No, plays for the Clippers now.
Kawhi?
Kalani Sitake. When you saw Kawhi do it. No, but when you saw, I mean, they sat their whole starting five, and they still won against Detroit. But you saw how they managed him and what it ultimately meant in Toronto was a championship.
Yep.
So if that's the case, then they look at that and say, well, it worked for them. Why wouldn't it work for us?
That's a fair point.
That's really where it's at.
And it might. But I still think that a lot of people are still going to be bothered by the fact that there was a huge, I mean, as important a regular season game as you could get, late stages of the season, and they said, you know what, we don't care. I think that still bothers a lot of people, and I understand why it would.
I think it bothers a lot of people outside of that team's fan base, because that team's fan base understands, like, we're trying to compete for a championship. This is what it's about. Or we want to make sure we have our star player for the duration, so it requires him sitting some nights. You might not like it, but that's what it has to be. Like, I think the outrage comes from people around the NBA, people that cover the sport or casual fans of the sport. I don't think it's with that specific team's fans. Like the Brooklyn Nets fans, I don't know how outraged they are about Kevin Durant sitting last night?
Well, we can open up the phone lines to that in a little bit if it bothered the Nets fan. And they're already saying they want more of a chance to talk. We'll give them that later in the show.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7. 7.